Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Welcome to the show. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you very live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Once again, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios, and please do not forget, as we get ready to head into the new year, for the very best in Mercury Free General Dentistry and Health Center Dentistry. You can find none better than my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, and you can reach him at 407-774-8255. I am Christopher Hart, the chairman of the board. Mike McBath is in the studio today. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. The number is 407-774-8255 if you would like to be a part of the show. Just grab that phone and give us a call. We got another big show lined up for you again today. We got Abe's going to be joining us here shortly for his regular visit. We got a lot of things to talk about with Abe today. You're, of course, welcome to call and make comments and ask questions as well when we have Abe on the line. We got some political news to talk about. Today is the 70th anniversary of the Pledge of Allegiance passing the House of Representatives. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a new contest coming up that we're going to do Thursday. We'll be here Thursday for New Year's Eve to help you bring in New Year's Eve. And then we're going to hightail it up to Cafe Positano afterwards to help officially bring in the New Year's Eve. By the way, Donald Trump's going to be on Fox News Channel
at 12 o'clock at night
for New Year's Eve. Yes.
He's my idol, man. He's 69 years old. I mean, he doesn't miss a beat.
He doesn't miss a beat. I tell you what, we're going to have to find out what kind of vitamins that man takes.
You know, I'll take him over Hillary in a mile run any day of the week. You know,
that's right, and he's right when he says she has to go home and rest.
I love it.
No joke. I mean, we found that out in Ed Klein's book. The woman is seriously fatigued. All right, but we got some football to talk about. The Falcons did it again. Now, yesterday, the Falcons defeated the Carolina Panthers and ensured that they will not have an undefeated season.
Right.
Did you know that back in, I think it was about 1975 or 76, the Minnesota Vikings were on the verge of going through the regular season undefeated.
And the lowly Falcons,
once again, a sort of second-tier team at that time, rose up and beat the Minnesota Vikings. I actually won a few bucks on that. I made a few bucks around in my first job because I was a big Falcons fan at the time.
So you were a gambler, Chris? Any other short points that I'm not aware of?
I probably wouldn't be here if I wasn't a bit of a gambler anyway, right? I am not a serious gambler, but I just, you know, everybody was bragging about the Minnesota Vikings going to do it like the Dolphins. And I really loved the Dolphins, too. Mm-hmm. I was torn between the Falcons and the Dolphins at the time. And
I know, as a Buffalo Bill, I hate the Dolphins.
And so I had had enough of it, and I said, okay, you want to put your money where your mouth is? And they did, so I covered the bets, and I forget what I won, about $25 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Falcons rose up and did it again yesterday, beat the Carolina Panthers.
Well, you know what happens, though, in games like that, and I always talk about it, even when teams are both very good, and then in a playoff game, one team right off the bat gets ahead of the other by 21 points, maybe 28. That's probably the worst thing that can happen to the guy that's ahead, because what happens is both teams are there for one reason. They know how to win, right?
Sure.
So you automatically, and you see this sort all the time, right, here we go. You sort of just, it's sort of a human thing. You sort of let down a little bit. Here comes the other guy. The momentum builds, and you just can't seem to dig in. And you see this numerous times. And you remember, what was that win by the Bills years ago? They came back. I think they were down like
Frank Reich.
Yeah, Frank Reich. What were they down,
greatest
like 30
comeback
points or
in
something?
NFL playoff history, I believe. Yeah, they were down. It was 30.
35-3 or something like that. They were way ahead.
And this happens
and
numerous times.
Was out injured.
And that's why a coach, I mean, his job is to do just what we say. It's the coach. The thing the Panthers have had a problem with is how do you break the Miami Dolphins record? You know, everybody wants to break the record and be the team that does it, but the pressure just builds and builds and builds. And then if you're the Falcons who are literally playing for nothing, you know, this is
a little
great,
bit of pride.
I got a chance to bust them. Plus the fact if you are a Falcon and you're not going into the playoff season, you better play a good game or two before you go home, my friend, because the coaches are going to be reviewing the films.
Right.
And as they used to say to me, Mike, we reviewed the films, and I would say to them back, well, how much do I owe you? So the answer is, if you're playing for the Falcons, put up your best game in the last game or so, because you could find yourself in big trouble.
Yeah.
So
well, the Panthers found themselves in some trouble yesterday.
Like,
couldn't get out of it. Plus, I think, too, that that game against the Giants the week before had taken some out of them. It was a rough-and-tumble game, and they had done just what you said. They were ahead 35-7 or something like that, and the Giants, lo and behold, tie the score.
Right, here we go.
Yeah,
right.
And then they in the final seconds of the game, the Panthers pull it out. But nonetheless, certainly there was probably some fatigue factor, I would think, in
Plus,
it's toward the end of the season. So.
And also, look at the a Giants performance, you know, I mean, look at this
they
week
got,
against the Vikings.
Trashed.
They got absolutely annihilated, 49-17. I believe they're going to let the coach go probably at the end of the season because
Tom
that's
Coughlin.
Just too much. And Coughlin's been around, I think, 14 years with the Giants.
Been a long time.
And, you know, they just can't seem to get out of the middle.
Yeah.
And I think Manning's, you know, good quarterback, not great quarterback, but good quarterback. But I just don't think the whole team has, you know, they're going to have to be retooled.
All right.
You know,
speaking
so
of Manning, when I was a kid, there was a, I believe a movie came out, and there was a, like a soap opera, and it was called Peyton Place.
Oh, I remember that.
Well, we got our own little Peyton Place going on here. Started over the weekend. Al Jazeera ran evidently a documentary-type story where they had fooled this guy by the name of all names,
I know,
Charlie Sly.
Yeah.
All right? Slick Charlie Sly. Was interviewed, a fellow by the name of Liam Collins was posing as a professional athlete, I guess seeking some advice on HGH, human growth hormone.
Right.
And real quickly, human growth hormone is not a steroid per se. When we think of steroids, steroids tend to make you bloat up, you know, big muscled and like the muscle guys and all that. HGH, what it does is help your body recover more rapidly from either an injury or a workout.
Right.
So that you can go, let's say you take it after a workout, the next day you're ready to work out again. And so that way you develop your body quicker than it would otherwise, or maybe even farther than it would otherwise develop. Or say after an injury, you would take HGH to speed the recovery process. And evidently that is what seems to be at play here, because this guy, Charlie Sly, evidently told Al Jazeera through Liam Collins that HGH was being mailed from an institute here in Florida called Geyer Institute to Peyton Manning's wife while he was at a recovery institute somewhere else in the country. And I didn't catch that. But it was when he was, I believe, recovering from that severe neck injury that he had that people thought it might injure in his career.
Remember, the one thing with Al Jazeera is, you know, this is a horrendously lousy channel.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a case that, you know, they're looking for sensationalism, and they hit it. This was the right name to pull out. And I also believe they're looking for younger viewers, or any viewers, actually. But, I mean, I do believe they're looking for major attention. So you go out, I call it, you pretty much slander Peyton Manning. I think there's a couple other big-name athletes they name.
Yep.
And now most people aren't familiar with their network, thank God. So now what happens? Here we go. They get a lot more younger people looking at it. They put the garbage across that they want to put across. And so, you know, I think there's more than, and as we mentioned earlier, I noticed that the NFLPA didn't even have an agreement with the NFL on HGH till 2014.
So technically speaking,
so I'm not sure he would have been in any great problem at that time.
Right. Technically speaking, because there was no policy on it.
There was no policy on it.
Even if he had used it, and we're not saying that he did.
Right.
But even if he had, it would not have been, technically speaking, a violation of any rule or policy.
Right now, it's a four-game suspension, initially, if you were caught with the use of it.
Yeah.
And but it was like the quarterback from Florida. Now, that was a different circumstance.
Will Greer.
Right. But on the bottle that he used, on all these bottles, they state, if you take a drug test, you will, in essence, be caught.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know where HGH stood in that respect back then. I'm sure it was still a very questionable drug. And I'm sure Manning, even thinking if it was, wouldn't have touched it. You know, why would he do that? Because he's paid well, you know. And now in Peyton's case, I start to wonder, though, is he might be at the end of the road, though. Not because of this issue, but
Just because
they got a really good quarterback who's doing an outstanding job, the team is winning, and where do you fit in next year?
Yeah.
Not sure.
You know, back in the old days, a quarterback at this stage in his career might actually step back onto the sideline for a season or two as a backup quarterback.
It's an awful big bill to pay him to be a coach, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he's getting, what, $25 million or something a year, because this is the...
And that's the difference between the old days and today.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the old days, you know, you made
it... $50,000 or $75,000,
right? Extra meal or something, you know.
Exactly.
But, we'll see in that situation.
Well, what is certain is that this is going to be a bit of a soap opera for a while, because Peyton Place, obviously, as you said, Al Jazeera was looking for a big sensational story.
No, I really believe this was part of this act.
And in a way, it was clever, too, because the liberal media out there has been in this campaign against professional, really all of football, for some time now.
And mostly all macho sports. You know, that's just not part of their act.
But what's interesting is while they're trying to run professional football and U.S.-style football out of this country, other countries are adopting it, are taking it and teaching it to their youths.
You know, they have, like, pro teams in Italy and, you know, I think Switzerland. There's a lot of football being played. What has happened is I do believe the next move by the NFL after we move to L.A.
will
be London. And I think London's within the next 2-3 years. And I think the mover could be either the Bucks or Jacksonville based on attendance. And remember, that would fit in easy if you're in the Eastern Division. You know, flying to London isn't overbearing. So, and they draw big crowds and big money. So I think that's the next move after we fill up the LA issue.
All right. Well, we got to take a move, and that is to move out of here and make way for a break. When we come back on the other side, Abe Katzman will be joining us live from Jerusalem. We'll find out what it's like over there tonight and how Christmas was in Bethlehem. That's right. We picked a song Mike couldn't sing.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's right.
Clint Eastwood.
That's right. That's what we give everybody night in and night out, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And tonight they're going to get it from the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good being Abe, the bad being Mike, and the ugly being me.
Oh, geez. I thought you were going to hit me with the third one, you know?
All right. We do now have on the line with us Abe Katzman, coming to us live from Jerusalem. Abe, once again, thanks so much for being on the show with us tonight.
Hey, great to be with you.
All right. Thank you very much. Real quickly, how is the weather over there tonight? It's hot as a summer day over here.
Well, we got the opposite. It's getting it's cold and windy, and one probably off-the-wall weather forecast said we might even be in for some snow, but I don't believe it.
Whoa. Yeah. Abe, get a little snow skiing in.
Yeah, Mike even mentioned that last week.
I know.
Hey, before we get into the heart of the discussion today, Abe, I want to ask you a couple of questions about football. And I don't know if I've ever actually even properly introduced Mike McBath to you, but Mike used to play for the Buffalo Bills. Matter of fact, he played also for Joe Paterno at Penn State. State, drafted by Buffalo, defensive end, roommated with O.J. Simpson.
1 year.
Yeah, when they were on the road, these guys would room together.
On the road.
Then he played in the World League, made All-World.
Oh, yeah.
And went then and put himself through University of Florida and got a master's degree in economics and became a very successful stockbroker. Brought the Orlando Predators to town here, arena football. And so I just wanted to, you know, make sure that you really understood where Mike's coming from. But, of course, being an ex-NFL player, former NFL, I mean, now he's the chairman of the board, the chairman of the board of the former NFL Players Union.
Former players. Abe, I was just curious, are you even aware of that movie, Concussion?
Yeah, I saw that it's out. I don't believe it's out in Israel.
Yeah, I was just curious if it was out there. I'm embarrassed. I haven't even seen it yet. I think it opened up. I love this. This is typical of the NFL owners, right? On the movie came out Thursday, which is Christmas Day, right? Was it Thursday? Yeah, or Friday was Christmas Day.
Yeah, Thursday was Christmas Eve.
Yeah, the movie comes out Friday. So they send out to all the former players Thursday afternoon, if you would like to go watch the movie, it's free on us, but you got to go Christmas Day. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. You know, thanks for another nice present from the NFL owners to the players.
Yeah, that was supposed to go out earlier, but
forgot. I think I'll skip on that one.
Yeah. So the reason for all of this is I was reading a newspaper article about a week or so ago and noticed that Israel is adopting U.S.-style football over there and doing it for particular reasons. Can you fill us in?
Well, football has gotten somewhat popular here. There were always a handful of Americans here playing it, and the NFL games are on TV. We get four games every Sunday. But starting around, probably 10 years ago, a bunch of people got together and decided they were going to create a league. The first year, I think they even played without pads. But they put together a league that now has about 500 players. There are actually a couple of leagues. There's a high school league and an adult league. And it's catching on. Last year, the championship here was on television, on the regular Israeli sports channel. There's only one real football field in the country. They play on soccer fields everywhere else, but it's actually done okay, and it's gotten a lot of support, actually, from the Kraft family, from the
right
the
from Boston
Kraft, the owner of the New England
yep.
Patriots.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, there are people who say that one reason that it's very attractive to Israel is that the same basic mentality is required in football as is required in the military, in terms of being part of a team, having your specialized job to do, but that the rest of the team depends on your being able to execute that job.
Right.
And it also teaches the discipline and the team, as you say, the teamwork, the discipline, and the toughness as well, is what this article was pointing out.
Well, Abe, you know, one time I was in Moscow right before it broke open, and I was standing right in Moscow Square, and I'm talking to one of the soldiers, and he goes, "You play football?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "That's why Americans so tough. Tough game. They're disciplined. They're organized." He said, "You have, you know, thousands and thousands of children that come up that way. It's a machine." But you know what? In its own way, it is correct, because it does teach mental toughness. It does teach cooperation. It does teach sacrifice. You know, it teaches all the disciplines you would like someone to grow up under. And it also might teach some of our youth who are a bit, I guess, soft in a sense that they don't like, they got to be in a safe zone and they got to watch that they might have
easy
microaggression.
Their feelings hurt by the coach.
That's it.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that's right. I mean, can you imagine a coach today versus back then? But the realities of it is, I think there's a lot of pluses. Now, the negative, as you know, will be exposed on this movie Concussion, which we're all aware of. But, you know, sometimes though, when you look at that, I mean, that's really also part of the risk of participating in a game. And would I play again, or do I mind my children playing? Not at all. You know, I mean, it's a case that, yeah, I actually was saying the other day to some of our fellows, I think more of us have actually died from prostate cancer than concussions. So, you know, a lot of difficult mountains out there. But the reality is, because I played in the 60s and the 70s, which is long ago, we are really literally the guinea pigs, and they're really finding out what now are the long-term effects of this type of game, you know, and continuous banging of the head and body.
All right. Abe, the Christmas in Bethlehem, just Christmas overall in Israel, were the Palestinians up to their shenanigans again, these terrorist acts? How was it?
There were a number of terror attacks, stabbings over the weekend, stabbings and car, you know, car rammings,
right.
People running up, being run over by cars. A couple of people killed, a number of people wounded. The Palestinian Authority still won't condemn any of these acts. And in fact, now they're actually talking of cutting off whatever relations they currently have with the Israeli government. So I don't know what's going to be there. But in terms of Christmas, in most of Israel, everything goes well. In most of Israel, you don't really notice that it's Christmas, but there are Christian areas where you certainly do. Now, Bethlehem, which is kind of ground zero for Christianity, there they usually have a number of celebrations. And this year they were actually limited because of Islamist threats. The Latin patriarch, who's actually the head of the Catholic Church here, his car was stoned by Palestinians. They ended up canceling a number of celebrations. And I believe in a couple of places there were Christmas trees that were set on fire.
All right, Abe, let's stop right there because that's where I want to pick it up.
Well, it's heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Christopher Hart here in the studio along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. And in Jerusalem right now, joining us live is Abe Katzman. Abe, as we were going into the break, you were describing how Christmas in Bethlehem was a little bit more subdued this year because of some threats, terrorist threats, by various Palestinian organizations. And even you said they stoned one of the Catholic priests' cars, what you were saying?
That's right. Bethlehem has had a lot of trouble since the Palestinian Authority took it over. The Palestinian Authority, while nominally secular, is really made up of overwhelmingly of Muslims.
Right.
At the time they took over, we're now talking about 22 years ago. Bethlehem was about 65% Christian. And today it's down to about 15% Christian. So they've really been very hard on the Christian population there, and a lot of Christians have left.
Are they in charge of things like maintaining roads and police force and all of that?
I don't know exactly what the
extent.
They do have some security apparatus. I don't know exactly what the breakdown is between who's responsible for what.
Okay. There was somebody else who poked his head up out of a hole to issue some threats at Israel, at Saudi Arabia, basically at the whole world. And that's our good buddy. I call him Boo. Abu al-Baghdadi, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, of course, the leader of the Islamic State, self-declared, but everybody recognizes him as such, says that they're getting closer and closer to making Israel one of their targets. Anything new as far as, you know, Israel is concerned? I'm sure that they assume that that's been part of his plan all along.
Yeah, I think that is part of his plan, although I think that this particular threat was really done because he's feeling some pressure and maybe even sensing some weakness. And in order to shore up his support, you can always go after Israel. You never lose in that world if you attack Israel.
Right.
So I think, though, that they're very worried that if they actually attack from the, you know, if they do control certain areas in Syria,
yep.
And if they attack from the Golan Heights, from the Syrian part of the Golan Heights, Israel is going to hit back hard. And I don't think they want to mess with that. However, ISIS also controls a lot of the Sinai Peninsula down south, and Israel does seem to be very concerned with what they're doing there. And in fact, there have been media reports that the military has been preparing for how to handle a possible abduction if ISIS would cross the border and abduct Israelis, either soldiers or civilians. So there definitely is that concern. By the way, the Baghdadi comments were, even though they were, it was interesting that they were welcomed by the Palestinian Authority, but I don't think they understand quite what they're asking for if they want ISIS to come in, because ISIS is not going to be kind to a, you know, corrupt, secular Palestinian government.
They will be the first ones to have their heads on spikes out somewhere,
right,
in the town square. You better believe it. One of those, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, Abe, I have a question. I just saw in the news that Saudi Arabia is financing 400 mosques in Germany. How kind of them doing that?
That is very generous. My heart gets all warm when I hear stories.
I know. I mean, obviously, this is a tool just to continue to promote trouble.
This is what they believe in. They're just being... And, you know, they're fulfilling religious duties as far as they're concerned.
Right.
They're very religious Muslims, and this is what, you know, religious Muslims spread the faith.
Right.
Whether by convincing or by sword.
Right.
Or by building mosques every other block.
That's right. And in the case of Saudi Arabia, by being nice to the infidel, while it's good to be nice to him, but in the end of the day, you know, the infidel is the infidel. And so they're not beholden to anybody, including us. And I called last night. Not only should we ban Muslims temporarily from coming into this country, because that'll pinch them in terms of commerce, but we should probably also make the transfer of monies more difficult for nations, including Saudi Arabia, and quit sending them military equipment until they stop doing this. You know, this is obvious that the intent here is not to have these Muslim immigrants who Germany welcomed in, another be careful what you wish for type things. They're not going there to be good Germans. They're going there to be good Muslims and make the Germans good Muslims. Duh. I mean, this is what this is all about. They all have the same ultimate goal, like you just said.
Yeah, I seem to recall, I think it might have been the Swiss government a few years ago, that one of the Saudi prince was being treated in Switzerland and said that he was going to offer to build some huge, beautiful mosque there. And they said, we'll let you do that as soon as you let us build a big church in Saudi Arabia.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the stuff like this is why Donald Trump's words are ringing so true, because people are saying, we need somebody who is going to get tough and nasty with these other people who have been playing tough and nasty with us and trying to convince us all along that they're our friends. Speaking of friends, I ran across a story. Is it legitimate that Turkey and Israel are looking to sort of make some sort of patchwork agreement to where they are on better diplomatic terms with the intent of perhaps, more cooperation across the board?
That seems to be the story. I mean, as background, Israel and Turkey had a very good relationship for a while, when Turkey was really more of a secular country. But really, since Erdogan came in and has led what an Islamist government, the relationship has really soured. They've been very hard on Israel. There's all sort of spewing anti-Israel propaganda. They support Hamas. And what really kind of ended the relationship was, if you remember, about 5 years ago, Turkey was involved in sending a flotilla
of weapons
to Gaza to break the break a perfectly legal blockade.
Right.
And when the Israeli Navy boarded the ship, they were attacked by these peaceful activists who were on the ship.
Of course.
And there was a fight, and actually in the course of these soldiers saving themselves, there were nine people killed, most of whom were Turkish.
Right.
And Turkey has gone, in fact, one of their conditions now is that they'll normalize relations if Israel gives up the blockade of Gaza. I'm not sure what is so important for Israel that they would go along with something like that. I don't think they're going to, and there are a lot of people here who don't want them to. But it also says something about Turkey's diplomatic isolation.
Right.
If they're even talking about this. I mean, especially since the business with Russia, I think they're feeling the squeeze, and I think they're looking for friends anywhere they can get them.
And it's interesting that they would look toward Israel.
Yeah, another question, Abe. You know, I think Russia announced today that I guess completion of the shipment of uranium, you know, to Russia by our good friends, the Iranians. Now, you know, is this a joke? I mean, you know, they must have this stuff hidden somewhere in Iran to work on their nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I don't think anybody takes this as an act of good faith on the part of the Iranians. If it were, it would be the first act of good faith they've had all along.
Right.
This is not a regime to be trusted.
Yeah, it's a charade is all that it is. A little while ago, when we were talking football, you mentioned that Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, is helping to sponsor football in Israel. Obviously, that's probably a pretty well-known fact. But there are other organizations that have been doing things in and around Israel that evidently nobody really knows who funds them. Now there seems to be a law that's going through the Knesset, I guess, to make NGOs, these are non-government organizations, reveal who their donors are. Can you explain a little bit about it and how it's affecting Israeli politics?
Yeah, there's an NGO transparency bill that the Knesset has taken up. The bill would require NGOs that operate in Israel to disclose payments they get from foreign governments. And most of these NGOs are far left and actually operate to undermine a lot of Israeli policies. This is probably
real quickly, many of these NGOs provide, if you will, aid and comfort to, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah and the Palestinian Authority, do they not?
Yes, they do. And they try as hard as they can to hamstring the Israeli military also.
Okay.
A number of them.
All right. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Now, these are mostly from Europe, and the Europeans are up in arms about this, and they and the left wing in Israel are also very upset. It's kind of ironic, actually, that Europe is upset about this, since Europe just recently decided that they had to put labels on all Israeli goods that came from
right.
any settlements. And now Israel effectively wants to label the
NGOs,
money that comes
right.
into these organizations, and if Europe doesn't think that's fair.
Yeah, do so, as I say, not as I do, right?
Yeah.
But is there enough support in the Knesset to get it to, and does once it goes through the Knesset, I presume Netanyahu has to sign it?
Yeah, it looks like this is going to pass more or less on party lines. Actually, there are a couple of parties that are not part of the coalition who will probably be joining and supporting this bill and voting for the bill. So it probably is going to go through. like I said, the left wing here has just gone ballistic over this, but I think this bill is going to pass.
Well, I certainly hope that it does, and I can understand why they would go ballistic over it, because, you know, it's going to jeopardize their funding sources, because nobody wants anybody to know that they are, you know, funding these nefarious organizations at the end of the day. If they thought that they were really doing something good, they'd probably want people to know about it, you would think.
Yeah, and if some Israeli military organization turns out that they're actually funded completely by France or by some Scandinavian countries or something, it takes away a lot of their legitimacy. As long as they can pretend that they're just another organization, they come out looking a lot more legitimate than they will once the truth is known.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, one last thing before we go. We started off talking about some sports. Let's go out talking about some sports. The Youth Sailing World Championships. Israel is the current champion, but may not be able to defend that championship. Please tell us why.
No, this is actually something that similar things have gone on a number of times. The championships are supposed to take place in Malaysia in coming days or maybe next week. Israel has, as you said, they're actually the defending champions in a couple of the different divisions. But Malaysia is, in order to do what they can to cause Israel trouble, first, they never ended up issuing visas, and then they imposed conditions on the Israeli team saying that they could not compete under the Israeli flag. They were not allowed to have any kind of Israeli symbols on either their clothing or their equipment. And if they would win a gold medal, the Israeli anthem would not be played. Israel stood up to this and said, hold on a second, you can't do this. But then once the visas didn't come, it kind of became a moot point. So it doesn't look like Israel's going to be participating. This kind of stuff happens very frequently when there are, sometimes it could be a soccer match in Bahrain or something like that. A lot of things in the Persian Gulf. Tennis tournaments, they create problems for the Israeli tennis players. In fact, one of the main, I forget which one of the teams, but one of the major teams from the UK, one of the major soccer teams, was playing in one of the Arab countries, and I think they have an Israeli player on the team, and they didn't want to let him play. There's this effort, even on the margins, even something as you'd think as unimportant as youth sailing championships, they have to try to delegitimize Israel.
Right. And this Malaysia, of course, is predominantly Muslim population, correct?
Yes. And even though there's not a Jew around there.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Far from Israel. Yeah, nothing to do with anything here, but they're Muslim.
This is the way they demonstrate that they are peaceful and tolerant. Of course, they are anything but, and that's the sad fact. All right. Well, Abe, once again, it's been very informative talking with you tonight. It's always a delight. So you stay warm tonight, and we'll think of you as we're walking around here in shorts and flip-flops.
Okay, I got to go take some human growth hormone now.
Get pumped up, brother.
There you go.
Get pumped up for next week.
That's right.
God bless you, Abe. We're praying for you and Israel. We thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.
We'll see you.
All right. Once again, that is Abe Katzman. He's a great man, great wit, great mind, and great articles that he writes. And you can find them at abekatzman.com, KATSMAN.com, abekatzman.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. If you are on the road again out there, we certainly hope you are going along the road smoothly and safely and soundly. And, you know, this is a great holiday week. You know, we got Christmas we just went through. We got, well, Hanukkah, then Christmas. Holiday month, I should say. Hanukkah, Christmas. Now New Year's is coming up, New Year's Eve. And, Mike, you said you had a personal story you would like to relate to. You know, everybody's out there doing a little celebrating, imbibing, and sort.
We got New Year's coming. We will make sure everybody knows how to take care of themselves. And I just was pointing out, with New Year's Eve approaching us, I'd like to share a personal experience with my friends about drinking and driving.
All right.
Last week, I was having a few drinks with some friends of mine. I got a little carried away as the evening and the stories progressed. You know, I had actually several Manhattans followed by a couple bottles of wine and finished with a few vodka shots.
Uh-huh.
Well, I still had common sense, though, to know I was slightly over the limit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I did something I have never done before.
Uh-oh.
I took a taxi home. Now, sure enough, on the way, there was a police roadblock. But since it was a taxi, they waved it past, and I arrived home safely without incident. Now, this was a real surprise to me because I had never driven a taxi before. I don't know where I got it, and now that it is in my garage, I don't know what to do with it. So if any of our listeners want to borrow it, give me a call.
All right. I don't think that's what they mean when they say take a taxi home. In all seriousness, folks, of course, Mike's just joshing around, but in all seriousness, don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and celebrate, and of course, Cafe Positano is a great place to celebrate New Year's Eve, do it responsibly and have a designated driver. Or there are various taxis and other Uber and
tow
trucks
Uber,
come and
all
get
that.
You.
They'll pick you up, take you home, not a problem.
Yeah, so because we want you to be around in the new year.
Worst case, just drive the taxi yourself.
No, don't do that.
All right. Now, New Year's Eve is Thursday, and we'll be here doing the show. And because it's Thursday, well, that's now our tradition. That's our contest day. And Mike's come up with a new one.
Well, we talked about this. We know with the New Year's, everybody has resolutions. But, you know, that's sort of boring. If I told you mine or Chris told you his, not that exciting.
Sure.
But we'd like to see you put together resolutions for other people.
Okay.
In other words, again, these can be Hollywood wonderful celebrities. These
politicians.
Politicians. Or anybody you so desire. Now, I'm going to give you an example of somebody's resolution. And I'm going to use my sweetheart, Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, is she a cutie? And I'm going to say, here's how you would present it. Something like this. I am Rosie O'Donnell, and my resolution is to stop being a fat slob and lose 150 pounds.
Oh, God.
I also hope to get a brain transplant and to, and to get a sex change to convert me back to a woman. Well, you know what? These are great desires by Rosie, and I hope all these things are met.
Okay.
So now, Chris, you're going to have to start thinking of a few.
Yeah, I'm going to have to work on this.
Then my other one, and just to show you the flexibility of this, you can go all over the world to come up with a resolution.
Sure.
Now, my second one is Ahmed of Syria. His resolution is to lie to get to America, then enjoy our taxpayer benefits of free cell calls, housing, food stamps, money, full health care, and then at the end of next year, it is to blow himself up in Times Square. Now, this is the type of flexibility our individuals will have
all
in
right.
this contest.
So we want to hear your New Year's resolutions that somebody else would be making, okay? Like he just said, the fellow by the name of Ahmed
or little sweetheart Rosie O'Blimp.
Yeah, so what would their New Year's resolution be? What would Barack Obama's New Year's resolution be? So that's what we're looking for. Thursday is the contest, and so put those resolutions together.
Hey, Chris, I actually have a unique prize for Thursday. Somebody gave me, for Christmas, a roll of toilet paper with Brock's face on it. And I'm going to bring this in here, and we can put that as one of the prizes.
Okay. All righty. All right, let's go to Rick on the line. Rick, thank you for calling tonight.
Evening, guys.
Howdy.
All right, Rick.
Mike, there was one problem with your Rosie O'Donnell resolution. She doesn't need a brain transplant. She needs a brain implant.
That's very good, Rick. I agree with you.
That's right. That skull is about as empty as they come, isn't it?
She's just a little love bug, you know?
A little?
She's not little. She's not love, but she's a bug.
She's a bug.
She's got one out of three.
Yeah, a roach.
All right, Rick. I know you're going to come up with a New Year's
resolution
for somebody.
I'm sure Rick will come up with some good ones.
That's right.
This is just
the
warm-up.
Have a good night.
All right.
You too. God bless you. Thank you for being out there. All right, so that's going to be our Thursday contest, New Year's resolutions for someone else. Okay.
Chris,
so,
tomorrow's going to be your turn.
I'm going to have to work on that tonight.
This so it comes across perfect.
Yeah.
It can be international, can be U.S. oriented. We'll see.
I'm going to have to work on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So that's the challenge. And we'll be playing for a roll of Barack Obama toilet paper and a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Compliments of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz service, Jerry's MB. The best friend you'll ever have. If you've got a Mercedes-Benz out there, is Jerry.
Do we have any
Jerry
more of those
wife,
stickers?
I think we got one or two left. Yeah.
Okay,
until we get
her.
She's going to resupply us. She said she'd resupply us, but
that's
it'll
right,
take a little while.
That's right, she did. I mean, she's all fired up.
Cindy, one of our listeners.
Liar, pantsuit on fire. That is great.
Stickers.
That is great. I hope
we got to get that to the Trump campaign somehow, you know. So, but anyway, that'll be Thursday. And then, of course, Friday is New Year's Day, so we will be taking New Year's Day off. And but once again, if you'd like to join us at Cafe Positano to ring in the new year, you're certainly welcome to do that. If you'd like to make sure you get a table that night, no matter what time you want it, you definitely need to make a reservation. And
if you drink, make sure you take a cab.
with the driver. You can call Cafe Positano at 407-774-8080. And, of course, you can make reservations there for any occasion, whether it be a private occasion between you and that certain loved one or between a party or an event. You can do that there as well. They have fine dining. They have a room in the back where they can do events like that. And then, of course, they have casual and takeout dining. Full bar entertainment. There'll be entertainment there Thursday night. Free champagne at midnight. No cover charge. And there will be a fireworks show. Compliments of Pasquale Bomba.
Now, is the fireworks show going to be inside the restaurant or outside?
Well, a couple of years ago, part of it was inside the restaurant.
By mistake, you know.
No, of course, it'll be outside.
There's a burnt pizza.
In the parking lot, well away from the building, but it'll be a good
one. So they actually are going to put on a fireworks show?
Oh, yeah. He does a dandy.
Pasquale's going to do that?
He does up a dandy one. All right. So, anyway, stay with us. We got another hour to go. You are listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road on a honey. I'm a road on a honey, and you can't keep up with me.
Welcome back to the show. That's right, folks. Welcome to the show. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, the author of the excellent book, Mercury Free. His name is James E. Hardy. You can reach him at 407-678-3399. All right, we got another hour to go here tonight. We had Abe Katzman in the first hour of the show, and if you happen to miss that, of course, you can go to our archive at our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, after the show and listen to that. And, of course, if you missed last night's show, you can also go to the archive after tonight's show and catch up on that. Had a very good show last night, I think. Had a lot of fun. I showed off my new toy last night. I got a new toy for Christmas.
What is it?
Do you want to see it? Or more importantly, do you want to hear it?
Oh, okay.
Oh, Nick's going, oh my gosh, no, that's right.
I got a little nervous when you said you wanted to show your toy. I'm going, I'm not sure this is the place for that, you know.
Easy
or your light bulb. Oh.
You can thank Nostradamus for this.
I like it. No, you can do
we'll
that.
We'll use that on our contest days.
What do you think of Hillary's face?
What about Bill Clinton?
I like it. That's good.
All right. Well, something interesting came with it. I was I was throwing away the packaging today, and this little note popped out, and I thought this was very interesting, especially since last night we were having so much fun with this all night long. And then I read this today, and I go, oh, no. It says here, warning. Changes or modifications to this unit not expressly approved by the party responsible for compliance could void the user's authority to operate the equipment.
That sounds very legal, Chris. You know what I mean?
It goes on to say, note, this equipment has been tested and found to comply with the limits for a Class B digital device pursuant to Part 15 of the FCC rules.
You think we suffer from overregulation in this country? Is this a joke?
Just a little bit. And then it goes on to say, these limits are designed to provide reasonable protection against harmful interference in a residential installation. Some people would say that I was harmfully interfering with residential reception last night.
About don't eat the machine?
This equipment generates, uses, and can radiate radio frequency energy and, if not installed and used in accordance with the instructions, may cause harmful interference to radio communications.
Chris, I can't take it. This is the government at its finest. That's right.
That's harmful interference to radio communications.
And that's our response to the government. You know?
No, here's our response to the government.
I'm just wondering what Brock's doing over in Hawaii now, spending probably $1 million a day, right?
Indeed.
As all his poor constituency. Oh, yeah. That's right. He doesn't care about them anymore.
No,
right?
Here's what he's doing right now. He's going,
yeah, the Brockster.
All right. Mm. Okay, so I hope you folks got a lot of interesting toys and good things for Christmas and Hanukkah as well. All right, where were we? 407-774-8255 is the number if you wish to complain about our new toy.
I wonder how long that's going to last, Chris.
It's one of those things that if you don't want to leave it in the room, you know, when you leave, because you might come back and it'd be gone. And somebody,
right.
No, we don't know what. No, never saw it. No, don't know what happened to that.
I'm not sure many radio programs are going to be playing that. So.
All right. First hour, as I said, we were talking with Abe Katz, and we also talked about Peyton Place, the now ongoing, it seems, soap opera with Peyton Manning. Did he or did he not use HGH? Did it even really matter? Because when they were talking about him doing this, there was no policy in the NFL that you couldn't, or that they tested for it or anything like that. So at the end of the day, it kind of doesn't seem to matter unless it's a continuing thing that he had been doing over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at it. We talked about this as a publicity stunt done by Al Jazeera's. You know what I mean? That's what they wanted to do, and they tarnished more than just him. And I can't believe that Peyton's advisor. I wouldn't have even responded to that. I'd say, look at the channel it's coming off of. Are you kidding me? Do you think there's any credibility to this at all? And I'd end the discussion. Why go deeper and deeper and deeper into this?
And Peyton has threatened to sue Al Jazeera over the allegations. And now the Al Jazeera reporter who put the story together, a woman with a British accent, I presume she was from Britain, perhaps down under. Anyway, her name is Debbie Davies. I guess Davies, that might be more Australian than British. I don't
know. That sounds Australian.
All right. Debbie Davies was the lead reporter. She had a guy by the name of Liam Collins
pose as a professional athlete to get a fella by the name of Charlie Sly.
Yes. Not Slime. Sly.
Well, Sly.
Okay, yeah. Charlie Slimeball.
Slick Charlie Sly,
okay.
To school him on how professional athletes use HGH and avoid it being detected in testing.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently they sat down and talked with this guy over a number of hours since the story broke, right before, actually, the story mm-hmm. broke over the weekend on Al Jazeera.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Sly issued a one-minute retraction of everything he said. He said, forget about it. Everything I said is a bunch of nonsense. He has since issued a statement saying that he was in mourning when this interview was conducted. These interviews were conducted mourning his fiancée, who had just evidently died or been killed. But what the story purports is they're not saying right out that Peyton Manning used HGH. This would have been back in 2011 after he had suffered his neck injury, which almost ended his career, when he was with Indianapolis,
right.
By the way.
I mean,
but
timing...
what they are saying is that HGH was mailed from a clinic here in Florida to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were going to say.
Well, if my wife gets lipstick in the mail, does that mean I'm one of them?
Oh, hi, I'm Mikey.
Now, you know, I mean, in other words, come on! I mean, and the reality of it is, Peyton Manning, do you think he'd have to go that route? I mean, the guy's getting paid $20 million a year.
Well, some people would say that's why he did go that route.
He's not that stupid.
Well,
but, you know, because he isn't, remember, his is a guaranteed contract for X number of years. He doesn't have to go that route. And as
a matter of fact,
say,
that might jeopardize it.
Right.
But even though back then there was not an NFL policy testing for
that. There was no policy till 2014, and currently it's a 4-game suspension, you know, with
first-time offense.
Right.
Right. And what HGH is, human growth hormone, is it is a substance not like steroids. Typical steroid usage would be like weightlifters or like – mm-hmm. A pro wrestler or a pro football player who wants to bulk up his body with right. a lot of body mass. What HGH doesn't do that. HGH helps your body recover more quickly from either a workout or an injury.
Right.
Matter of fact, I believe that Tiger Woods was using HGH because he had a number of injuries over his career. He always seemed to come back rather quickly from the injury and play a great game. Well, lo and behold, the little incident with his wife down there,
right.
and there's rumors started flying that he was using HGH. Evidently, the golfing world put a little pressure, and all of a sudden, Tiger Woods ain't the same Tiger Woods anymore.
No, he sort of disappeared physically.
Didn't he?
You know, that long drive at 320 is now down to 280.
Yeah.
Wonder what that would be indicative of.
Well... so,
I don't know. I know nothing. I know no one.
But the point here is that perhaps Peyton, if he did use it, perhaps he used it to recover from that injury. And it could have been prescribed by a doctor. There are
right.
certain uses that HGH is a legitimate medical remedy. And once again, at that time, there was no NFL policy on it. But to get back to your point, Al Jazeera is out there trying to make a big splash for themselves.
This is the biggest publicity they've gotten since they've been here. I mean, the channel is a joke, unless I guess you work for CARE or something like that. I guess you watch.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, here's the sad fact of the matter, and I've watched a little bit of Al Jazeera.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
I kind of know what the competition is doing.
Now, wait, what's your name now? Abdul the Tool?
Abdul the Tool.
That's Chris's alias.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Your Muslim name, Abdul the Tool.
The sad fact of the matter is... they rival the reporting that you're going to get on CNN. They rival the reporting that you're going to get on MSNBC in terms of the quality of it. Now, does that say a lot about Al Jazeera? Or does that say how bad what we're getting from CNN and MSNBC is?
But, I mean, if I watch that channel, I don't even feel like I'm a real American.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, certainly not.
It's a little weird.
No, and certainly got all the Muslims,
I know.
Calligraphy and everything.
Yeah.
You don't know what it says, right?
Yeah, it probably says, get lost, loser, if you're watching this channel.
Yeah, exactly. You know, only in a little bit more harsh terminology than that. But who knows, maybe what subliminal messages. But the sad fact of the matter is, when it comes to their journalism, they are as good as CNN and MSNBC. Now, that's not saying that they are great.
No, that's not.
But it's a testimonial about CNN and MSNBC. Right. So
maybe we're going to see a lot more of this, Chris. Yeah. And I'm serious. They're going to, I think, go for big splashes because look what they got out of it. It was a big time, and it's been all over, you know, CNN and ESPN and all of them, right?
This is just the kind of story the liberal media wants. It fits their template, right? Mm-hmm. Very successful, highly paid athlete. He's playing in a sport that they disapprove of. He excels in that sport. So if you bring him down, you bring the sport down, all in the same, you know, sort of swish. And so it's perfect for them. So you can bet that Peyton's place is going to go on for a while.
Chris, now how many of the liberal media do you think smoke marijuana?
Presently or before?
Presently.
Probably, I would say, a significant number of them. More than the general population.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
You know, and how many do beyond that? A lot. These people are such a, you know, such phonies. It's unbelievable.
And they're a bunch of losers.
Absolutely pathetic.
At the end of the day. But, all right, when we come back, we're going to move away from sports and new toys. And we're going to talk a little politics.
Yo.
All right. And, of course, you can join us as well.
Do you want to sing White Christmas? Oh, no, you can't do that. We could even, let's talk about that,
all right,
too.
We'll do that. And the new movie, Chi-Raq. Have you heard about the new movie Chi-Raq?
No.
We'll talk about that, too.
Isn't it rich?
Is we alone?
Here at last on the ground, and you in midair. Send in
the clown. They're so slow getting to this. You know, like, I got to say that in like 1 second. You know, send in the riches. Send in the clown.
All right, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. Send in the clowns. Let's talk a little politics for a few minutes.
Well, that's very appropriate.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we got it. Marco Rubio has found himself a new friend in Trey Gowdy, who is calling Marco Rubio a true conservative and a great leader.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think there might be a push to be vice president?
Here's what I said when I heard that. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do you think, no, but I'm serious about it. Do you think this is a done because he could be the vice president?
Or, obviously, he's angling for something.
There's something going on.
He's hinted very strongly he does not like his job in the House.
Right.
Evidently, he... Being a prosecutor is a lot different than being a committee chairman in a House committee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's very frustrated with it. He's a very talented guy, but I think Donald Trump summed it up when he said, I hope he does a lot more good for Marco Rubio than he did for the country with those Benghazi hearings.
That was cruel.
But he was right. Unless there's
In the end, he was right.
If there's not another shoe to drop, if there's not another act to that play, all that he did was help Hillary Clinton because her ratings went up after that, mm-hmm. right? She was now seen once again as the one, you mm-hmm. know, the ultimate, she's going to be the inevitable candidate and president. So, yeah. Okay, Trey. All right, you're angling for a new job. I can understand that. So he's going to do some campaigning up there with Marco Rubio in New Hampshire. And Marco Rubio is holding out hope that he will be the establishment candidate. Right now, he's got a pretty firm grip on it, to be honest with you. Jeb Bush is out of the picture. Kasich and Christie are showing some life in New Hampshire, but nowhere else.
You know,
neither one of those candidates, I'm afraid, is going to sell big here in the
Jeb
South.
Mr. Rogers the campaign with them. You know, from the old days, I think they would be like personality very much like each other.
Unfortunately, I think he's dead, though. Didn't he die?
I know. He may have, but I mean, he reminds me of Mr. Rogers.
He does. He does. And Trump has wasted no time over the holidays. He didn't take a break from a campaign.
Oh, I know. He keeps smashing away. I love
him. He uses that Twitter very effectively.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that wherever you're at.
You got it.
And we're going to be a little bit more active in that in the coming months. But he used his Twitter and he's daring the Clintons to bring it on. He's turning things right around on them. When Hillary Clinton said last week that Donald Trump has a penchant for sexism, he said she should talk. Her husband is the one who has a penchant for sexism. You know, bring it on. Play that woman's card. I'm ready. And so it promises to be an exciting new year. And he's also taken swipes at his Republican opponents, but he is taking more and more focus on Hillary. And by the way, he has definitely got a good ground game in states around the country, including here in Florida. He has hired some pretty high-profile party
experience. Yeah. Very good people.
Somebody who helped worked on Rick Scott's campaign, who has been involved in every presidential campaign in this state for the last 25 years. I don't have the article in front of me right now. I'm sorry I don't, but I'll have it with me tomorrow, and I'll give you their names. But he is definitely building his ground game here in Florida and here in Central Florida. I ran into some friends Christmas Day. We went to brunch out at the Rosen Center. Great food, by the way. And they were big Trump fans, and she is going to be working on his local campaign committee. So he's definitely getting his ground game up and running and getting some experienced people with him. You put that with the momentum that he has going.
I can't wait to see the ads, in all seriousness. I believe they will be the best of all. Entertaining, right to the point. And they'll be Don Trump. Just what he is.
All right. We've got Sherry on the line who has been holding. Sherry, thank you for calling tonight.
Hi, guys. I hope I got enough time. I got two
points. Well, we'll make time for
you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Good evening, Mike.
Good evening.
Listen, you started your show off making a comment about Flag Day.
Well, the Pledge of Allegiance, actually. Today, 70 years ago, the Pledge of Allegiance officially passed through the House of Representatives. And by the way, the Pledge of Allegiance, the reason we came up with a Pledge of Allegiance is so that when immigrants came to this country, they would pledge allegiance to this flag and our country. In other words, it was a step to assimilate, to become an American and leave wherever you came from behind.
You're right.
And that's probably why the liberals hate it so much. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I have enough time to...
Well, we can hold you over if you want to wait.
Yeah, I'll wait. Okay,
okay, but go ahead.
Okay. This morning on local Fox 35 News, they asked the same question. What words were added to the Pledge of Allegiance? Under God, indivisible, or with liberty and justice? And they have four people. And I love Fox 35. I can't stand Channel 2, Channel 6, and Channel 9, which is the LGBT queer station. But let me tell you something. The girl that always asks, and I'm not going to even say her name.
Okay.
She normally knows the answer, but she admitted she didn't know the answer. So all four people, normally have five.
Right.
And they, you know, they're asked trivia questions.
Right.
And they all go indivisible with liberty and justice.
Right. No.
They're all in their 30s.
Under God.
40s.
Right.
Yeah, that's
going,
what I thought it was. Yeah.
I'm about dying. I'm going, I knew this answer when I was 7
years
old.
Yeah, I knew that.
Well, you would, if you just think about it a little bit, you can figure it out. But yeah, under God was not a part of the original Pledge of Allegiance. Once again, the Pledge of Allegiance, the reason Congress came up with it and it was signed into law by Truman was that so that immigrants would pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And not so much for all of us, but more so for them. And then it became a thing for all of us because we're so proud. But it was really for immigrants to pledge their allegiance to this country and leave whatever other allegiances that they had behind. And, of course, today, that's an anathema. All right, we are up against the break. Sherry, stay with us. We'll pick you up again on the other side. And Rosalie and Vinny are going to be joining us at Cafe Positano New Year's Eve. They've made their reservations. You can, too. Call Cafe Positano, 407-774-8080, and join us to bring in 2016. It's going to...
Hey, y'all, this is Sam Houston, professional wrestler. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute of your time and say, hey, if you need to get up to date on your views and issues and everything else, listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660. The Answer. These guys got it going on. Trust me.
All right. That's pro wrestler Sam Houston, who is also a big, big-time conservative. All right. Welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. We still have Sherry on the line. We got a couple other callers. We'll get to the you guys. But Sherry, you're still with us, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, you talk about Truman and what he did with the Pledge of Allegiance, but, you know, this morning, these four people on Fox, they didn't even know the answer.
Yeah, that,
I said, they were in their 30s or 40s, and it's a shame. I mean, what are we teaching our children about our own history?
Nothing. That's the problem.
Right.
You know,
we're not.
Well, the fact is... I hope somebody on Fox 35 is listening, and they call and they go and tell these people that they need to kind of go on Google and find out
They could just ask the question to the Google.
Yeah, but she just mentioned the Red Skelton thing, and Red Skelton
describes the flag and what it means.
Well, what he does is he goes through the Pledge of Allegiance, and he says, "I pledge." Pledge. What does that mean? And he talks about what pledging means.
Oh, that was great.
Allegiance. Then he talks about allegiance to the flag. Why that? And it's very insightful, and he does a great job with it. He's a great comedian.
Okay, the next point
that
I want to make, and thank you for your wonderful show last night. I was so excited about listening to every word you had to say, Chris.
Well, thank you very much.
That DVD was nothing but a primer, okay? If you want to know about our country, you can go to the Library of Congress, you can go to Wall Builders and read all the books that David Barton has written. Okay.
Yep.
But anyway, I hear people all the time talking about, oh, I sent my kid to this Ivy League college. It's so prestigious. Does anybody know what Ivy League means?
Ivy League, I do recall learning this. Oh, you've put me on the spot because I know I learned this before. Go ahead and tell us.
Okay.
I don't want to.
There are four main colleges.
Yeah, there were Harvard,
Princeton,
were built.
Harvard,
Princeton,
Yale. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Princeton,
Okay, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and Dartmouth, wasn't it?
Yeah, whatever. And they were all Bible colleges.
Correct.
Okay, and they started class every morning with chapel. They went through class and they ended with chapel.
Right.
Okay, and they're called Ivy League not because
of the ivy growing
on the walls outside on the bricks,
right?
Because of Roman numerals, they were four colleges. Ivy. Roman numerals.
Oh, that's good,
right.
Though.
Yeah.
That's a very
that's
good.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
I like
right.
That.
I remember learning that a long time ago, and I'd forgotten it. But
well,
yeah,
you made
it has
me
nothing to do with.
It
you think
night.
It's because
was,
of
oh,
Ivy?
Man,
yeah.
Listen to Chris.
Yeah,
that was good. I like right. that one. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Sherry. By the way, last night I had a while back. Sherry sent us some DVDs entitled "What If Jesus Had Never Been Born" by Dr. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge Ministries, and you can go to coralridge.org, and I've been looking for an opportunity to talk about it, and I thought, you know, we just celebrated Christmas, why not talk about this? And it's very insightful. So thank you, Sherry, for listening, and thank you for sending the DVD. And folks, if you want to hear that show again, you can go to our archive
in case you haven't heard it, you can hear it at our archive, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com.
Okay. That's a good point. And now that I know that, because like I said, I'm embarrassed. My brother went to Dartmouth. My mother went to Columbia, right? But yeah. I'll bet you they don't even know that. Well, she's dead, so she would know it. But the reality of it is I would bet 90% of the Ivy Leaguers we talk to don't know that.
Especially today.
And that'll be a great question to embarrass them
in
a conversation.
Your day, yeah. But today
they wouldn't know anything today.
Any
They're still working on Black Lives Matter. They can't figure that one out.
All right. Let's go next to Warren. Warren, thanks for calling. Appreciate you being out there.
Hi, guys.
Howdy. Hey, Warren.
I've got several things, but I do want to follow up on those colleges. I had an argument with my teenager about prestigious schools versus whatever, and I said, you're going to go to a community college, start out, because I'll have a $2,000 a year drunk or a $30,000 a year drunk, because that's all we do is party, in the first year or two.
Right.
Away.
Yeah.
Warren, how do you think that? I mean, I'm a Penn Stater, We didn't want education to get in front of the liquor.
He got his associate's degree, and then he went on and graduated almost with close to a 4.0. So he got his bachelor's in economics. Okay. Good. Anyway, last night was the first night I couldn't sleep very well in a long time because of Trey Gowdy. I think I mentioned him way back in 2012 on your show about the work he was doing in Congress, ripping to shreds people Fast and Furious and some of the other investigations.
You're right.
And then I got kind of disturbed when our illustrious Elijah Cummings.
Oh, he's a winner.
Oh, God. Yeah. He hides behind the same thing as Barack because of his skin color.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Trey acted just like a pussycat.
Yeah, there was a lot of deference there. Let's just put it that way. Trey was giving a lot of deference to Elijah, letting Elijah have his little tirades and grandstanding and basically taking over the committee.
Yeah, you talk about softballs. I thought he was throwing Nerf balls
Nerf balls.
Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing on.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden... he is championing the Trans-Pacific, the TPP.
Trade deal.
Yeah. And I found out later that our new Speaker of the House profited handsomely from the passage of that. And Trey, I think he pulled off about $300,000 on it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
He was a statesman.
Yeah.
No, and now all of a sudden he's... championing Rubio, and to me, I just don't think Rubio.
But didn't Trey Gowdy say for a while he wasn't going to run again, Chris?
Well,
remember that was rumors, and then I guess he refuted that.
Yeah,
but to me, I think this is just a job application.
Maybe it is, but he's another big disappointment.
Yeah, real.
I mean, terrible disappointment because
because
how many statesmen have we got in Congress?
Not very many.
Not very many.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We got a good one here, and Dan Webster, but guys like him are so few and far between. All right.
About Rosie.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We're going to get back to her.
Mike's gal.
I found out that some time ago she had a sphincter transplant.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay. Well, but 3 days after the surgery, the transplant rejected Rosie.
You're going to get your resolution, on Thursday. So, put down the shooters and come up with a good one.
I'll try.
All right. Thanks, Warren. Appreciate you being out there.
One.
All right. We got another contest.
That's funny.
We'll tell you the rules here in just a minute. We got Mike on the line. We'll take Mike's phone call, and we got a break coming up here shortly. Mike, thank you for calling.
Hey, Mike.
I wish Warren had started with the Rosie joke, to be honest with you. I was watching, I don't know if you guys saw this, I was watching Elf on ABC Family on Christmas Eve, right? So it ended, we put the kids to bed and everything. And they had this little disclaimer pop up on the screen that said, the following program does not reflect the morals and values of ABC Family. And I thought, well, cool, this is something I'm definitely going to want to watch, you know?
Sure.
It was the 700 Club.
It was
on Christmas, and an old couple who'd been making Christmas cookie cutters for 50 years, a bunch of other stuff, and I was like, good Lord.
What are your moral,
I don't even think they have any, but
this goes to, you know, Sherry mentioned the show last night. This is what we were talking about last
night. That
was ABC
night. Though, right?
Yeah.
They're owned by Disney though.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the ABC Family Channel has now been changed to Freeform. And one of the shows they're hustling is this recovery special with young kids in drug rehab and stuff like that, and how they get into these relationships and stuff. And if you know anything about rehab, you're not supposed to be going there to date.
No.
That's
kind of a distraction, yeah. Yes.
They just kind of frown on that, you know.
Exactly.
To ruin the whole process.
Yeah,
but anyway, I wanted to make amends to Mike for giving you a hard time for singing the other night. I felt bad.
I barely recovered from that.
You know, but it was in good fun. And
if we can't take a little bit of ribbon, then we're in the wrong
place.
That's
right.
Don't worry about it.
I felt bad.
We're here to be abused.
Don't feel bad. That's right. We're here for all.
When Cher was talking about the Ivy League and all this other stuff, I didn't, because I had my wife has a cousin that went to Harvard. And he got expelled for a semester for cheating. And did his father not pay the $100,000 for him to go back? Of course he did, because he was going to Harvard.
Of course,
but they accept, or I don't know that they promote cheating, but it doesn't get you in that much trouble.
Well, let's just say if your old man can pay the $100,000, it ain't that big a deal, right?
Cheat right. all you want and then send the money in. I'd be,
right,
as the president
exactly.
of the university, I'd encourage it.
And but unfortunately, that's, you know, our whole education system has been undermined by liberalism and even a certain amount of corruption and affirmative action. I mean, all of these things have been coupled and have really decimated our education system in this country.
Well, I hope Warren considers that Trey Gowdy is a chess player and not a checkers player, and Elijah Cummings is a checkers player. So I wouldn't give Trey too much hard time. He's showing deference simply because he's got a bigger picture in mind.
Well, I'd like to know what that bigger picture is, because what he has done is he has tied his wagon to the establishment, and he was always kind of a bit of a, you know, a bit of an outsider, but not so much now.
Well, we got to see what his next haircut looks like, and we can make a better decision.
it looked like they put a pie pan on his head.
It always looks like he's a rebel.
So. I know it does. You know, I can see that. You know,
he does need a new stylist.
Yeah. Happy New Year and everything.
All right.
Same to you, Mike. And, yeah, get that resolution together. We'll give you the rules here in a second. And, by the way, you heard Cherry talking about Fox. And tomorrow, our man Carl Jackson will be on local Fox 35 during the 7 a.m. first half of that hour. Not sure when it's going to be, but after 7 a.m., Carl Jackson will be on Fox 35 tomorrow morning with some more great political analyses. All right, so Thursday, contest day again. Contest rules this time. It's New Year's. New Year's Eve, actually, Thursday. We'll be here. Won't be here New Year's Day. We'll be here
New Year's
Eve.
Is there any, like, New Year's Eve songs or something we could sing?
Well, Old Hang Syne. Right?
Oh, God. I knew it. There was one that I remember.
Yeah. You must have got a concussion somewhere along the way.
I know. I got to go see the movie before Thursday.
I had one of them one time.
Yeah.
Literally saw stars. Anyway.
You know, when he was talking, though, about the college students and everything, and I think we reflected on this a day or so ago about the students. This was great at George Mason University, that they had a young man out in the street. This was a great setup.
This was supposed
to be a prank, but he wanted to show how naive and immature, and I don't want to use the word stupid.
I will.
These
stupid.
College students are, and you know, George Mason's not a bad school.
Yeah,
he would ask them. He said, "Listen, we're trying to get everybody to sign a petition to get rid of the song White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas because You know what this reflects? It's, you know, it reflects
racially tended.
Yeah, white superiority.
Sure.
The snow could be brown. Well, you know, it could be yellow too, but that doesn't come from the sky. It comes from somewhere else.
Right.
I always heard that saying, never eat yellow snow,
oh,
right?
God.
But the reality of it is,
we don't have to worry about
so
that.
It was so hilarious because the way he described it, he said, well, you know, if you do this, you're going to stop microaggression. You know, this reflects poorly upon all different nationalities. And these moronic students
were actually signing
it, right?
The petition, yes.
And then he went on and he said to him, he said, well, you know, we ought to also praise a song like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because that's about a disabled reindeer. And the kids are going, yeah, you're right, man. That's real. You know what? Boy, I'll tell you, things have to change in our university. He says, we got to get rid of these heads of the diversity departments. I think if you cleaned all of them out, it would be a major start in American university. But can you imagine that?
Mm. Indeed. Indeed it would.
Never eat what yellow snow.
Right. Right. Okay. I got you. All right. Let's see. We up on the break, Nick? All right. Let's go. We'll take the final break. When we come back, we'll give you our contest rules and talk about Chi-Raq, the new Spike Lee movie. Chi-Raq.
Oh, he's certainly one of my favorite guys. Oh, boy.
This movie actually might have a few redeeming qualities, although he does
but I'm gonna
once
wait
again
till
come
it's
to the
on,
liberal conclusion
I'm
in the end.
I'm going to wait till it's on TV about a week from now.
I don't think this will ever. I don't know. This might. All right, so don't go away. We'll be right back. Little Ray Charles, you want to try that, Mike?
No.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh. For spacious skies forever. That's it.
All right, that's right. Today is the 70th anniversary of the Pledge of Allegiance passing through the House on its way to become law of the land, and it was meant for immigrants to pledge allegiance to this country and leave all other allegiances behind. All right. We won't ask you to pledge allegiance to the American Adversaries. We'll just ask you to keep listening to us, and we appreciate that. We'll ask you to join the American Adversaries Army. Real easy to do. Just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Which, by the way, we're reworking that again. And go to the recruiting office, and you can sign up real easy right there.
Chris, if you're a legal immigrant, do you have to know the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
do?
It said, if I'm not mistaken, it said when they...
You have
when
to
they,
know it, right?
When they... The day that they become citizens,
right?
I believe that's
right.
One of the things that they say.
But if you're illegal... What do you? You don't have to know anything. Right?
Well,
you don't even
right.
have to know how to speak English. What am I talking about? Forget it. On to the next thing, right?
That's right. That's right.
I think I knew the answer.
Okay. All right. Real quickly, I teased about the movie Chi-Raq. It's a movie, a new movie by Spike Lee. And it actually might have some redeeming qualities in it because the movie Chi-Raq, the word Chi-Raq is actually a play on the words Chicago and Iraq. And what he is saying is that it's sort of a slap in the face, if you will, to the Black Lives Matter movement and this huge movement in the liberal politics that the police in this nation are in the process of killing off black youths around the country. What Chi-Raq is about is, hey, the real problem are the murders that we're committing in places like Chicago, gang murders, drug-related murders, black-on-black murders. And the police, as Spike Lee said in an interview, the police aren't, they're maybe a small part of the problem, but they're not the problem. And so Chi-Raq is about that. Now, having said all of that, at the end of the day, he sees guns as the real issue and is calling for more gun control. You know, I guess you can't expect too much out of a liberal.
But, you know,
he starts to go down the right road, but then gets once again waylaid and back into the wrong place.
But the premise of the movie, I think, is quite obvious. So I'm not sure why I want to go to the movie. You know, I mean, we all know what the problem is in these cities, right?
Well, but this is directed.
But he's at least saying it.
Exactly.
Good.
And that's why I say there may be some redeeming qualities because he's saying, hey, really, you know, the problem is a lot bigger than what you're saying that it is. And the problem is in the hood, Chirac.
And when does this come out, Chris?
I believe it is on the verge of coming out.
So maybe in a week or two?
I think so, or it just came out.
So by February 1st, I'll be able to watch it on TV?
By February 1st, it'll be ancient history, probably.
No, I was going to say,
The people that would actually understand it aren't going to go to see it. The people who need to see it aren't going to want to see it. So we'll see what goes with. Of course, you know, Spike Lee, though, has the cred. Oh, it is out now. Thank you, Nick.
Have you seen it, Nick? No.
No, he was busy seeing Star Wars along with the other.
Oh, that's right. Star Wars.
Like, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of people.
I have not seen Star Wars
dollars,
yet.
Yeah, I still like
Star Trek better.
All right. So anyway, Chirac, that's what that's all about. And, of course, the movie Concussion is out, right? And that's another one that's not going to do well at the box office, I'm pretty sure.
I always tell this story is, you know, because of this nationwide, it's a class action lawsuit. You know, for former NFL players, you know, you get all these attorneys calling up, which I call it's piling on if I go into the description. But they go, Mr. McBath, did you ever have a concussion? You know, because they want to make some money, right? And I go, I can't remember. And then they all go, that's funny. You know what I mean? But I mean, this is an amazing thing, though. And I call it piling on. I explain it to our players. Class action suit, the fees are already paid in a class action suit, right? Well, what these attorneys do, they go around to a lot of these players, and they say, you know, we'd like to help you in this. And the players are naive how the system works.
Right.
And they go, okay. They sign the papers, and they don't realize now you're paying this attorney what you were already going to get. You're paying him another 30%, and the attorney never explains it correctly.
Exactly.
In other words,
the players are already entitled to the money.
Most of them are in Washington now as attorneys.
Exactly. They don't need to hire these attorneys. Because
isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, some shysters going on there, that's for sure. But, you know, a lot of people have suffered concussions. Hillary Clinton suffered a concussion, right? Or two, right? So
brain damage. Definitely brain damage a long time ago.
Maybe there is something to it. All right.
No, but I mean, that issue, which the movie's about, I am going to go see it, I hope, in the next few nights, right? Yeah. So at least I can discuss it.
Right.
But from everybody that said, they said the movie was actually pretty reasonable. To me, it sounds pretty boring. But I mean, I actually believe, and I brought this up a couple times, I believe we have as many guys die from prostate cancer as we do concussions.
I believe,
and I would like to see that number side by side, but I don't think anybody wants to talk about it.
And I believe if you checked in terms of the rates of concussions per player, you would probably find a lot more in the sport of soccer than you do in the NFL.
You're probably right, because when they hit heads, they have
and
no
when they
form
butt
of protection,
that ball,
and they've been playing since they've been, 4 years old?
Yep.
And that's a lot younger than the kids playing football. And
I remember I headbutted a ball one time.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
I believe I got a concussion because I had a headache for like 2 days.
Lights out.
Well, I tell you, the one time when I know I got a concussion, I was playing football, football.
Right.
It was organized flag football, playing, guess what, defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, little old me.
Tough
and
guy.
I was bigger back then, but I was lean and mean, fighting machine.
Fighting machine, all right.
And I was doing real good, and I was making a lot of plays, and so what they did was they set me up. They ran a sweep around my side,
right?
And the guy was running outside of me, so I'm chasing him.
Right.
Running down the line, basically.
And he whacks you.
Next thing I know, I'm on my hands and knees and literally seeing stars.
Yeah.
And it was tunnel vision and literally stars. And the guy that was the other defensive end helped me up and was going, I said, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was going, yeah. What had happened was a player had come up behind me as I was chasing the guy with the ball and cold cocked me in the back of the head.
Right.
Well, you know, so, you know, it happens. And, you know, a lot of people.
Did you get your baseline testing yet, Chris? Because I'm concerned myself, you know.
Well, now everybody knows what's responsible for me being this way.
Yeah. Now that I know the truth, I wonder what happened, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't drugs. It was a concussion. No, it happens. And I had a headache for a while and, you know, it recovered and.
You know, the irony of professional football is actually, you know, the current players, you try to plead your case that, geez, you know, we're all team one, we're all together, all this, make sure you give us some more money in our pension plan, because right. we can't get anything unless they approve it in every collective bargaining deal. So right. if they don't approve it, we get nothing.
Yeah.
But we actually were the guinea pigs, because you're seeing what's wrong coming out of the 60s and early 70 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at them, and I always tell them, you're looking in the mirror. If you don't see like what you see, give me more money.
All right. We're getting ready to close out the show here. A quick note. Tomorrow night we'll be here. Wednesday night we'll be here. Thursday night we'll be here doing our contest. Friday night we'll be off. Now, our contest is going to be New Year's resolutions.
Right, very simple.
What would, say, Rosie O'Donnell's New Year's resolution
be? Okay, because we're open as we'd like to see the resolutions from, again, political people, movie stars, people around the world, refugees, wherever you want to give a resolution.
Yep.
Now, mine is play I'm Rosie O'Donnell, and here's my resolution as Rosie O'Donnell. I am Rosie O'Donnell, and my resolution is to stop being a fat slob and lose 150 pounds. I also hope to get a brain transplant and get a sex change to be converted back to a woman.
Or as Rick said, a brain implant.
I know. And so,
all right, that's the idea. So that'll be Thursday night, and you'll be playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's MB, jerrysmb.com. And Mike's going to throw in a roll of TP.
Yeah, with Barack Obama's face on it. You can imagine this, you know?
But it might give you a rash. If it does, you can get some Roxy Pacifics to put on it.
The toilet paper is going to end up where he ought to end up.
In the toilet.
That's exactly right.
By the way, he is promising to make the last year of his administration the most of it. He's going to try to get as much done as possible. Of course, we've been telling you that for a long time now. That's why you listen to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. And we're going to wrap it up for tonight. So
tomorrow.
Night, everybody.